How Long Gone? It's your friend Chris Black coming to you live from beautiful Stockholm, Sweden. A little after dark, rare podcast for me. But I'm feeling good. I think the timing is actually great. So I'm thank you.
What for time being, is it over there in Stockholm, Sweden?
It's 7 p.m.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn,
yeah.
That's cray cray.
So I've got the at the Nobis Hotel here. I've got the lights dimmed. You know, the window is open. The city is out to my right. You know, it could be worse.
What did you say? The Nobis Hotel?
It's called Nobis. N-O-B-I-S.
Damn, short for no bitches. No wonder you're staying there. Little ho ass.
God damn it. I did wonder what the name means. So thank you for kind of, it's crazy that you from Los Angeles figured that out before I could figure it after staying here 4 or 5 times.
Well, you know, regardless of where I chose to lay my hat at the end of the day, I've always been a master of language. You know that.
That's true. No, that's true. How are you feeling over there?
I've just been kind of getting my day started, getting my thought starters listed out on my Vision Pro goggles for my 10 a.m. pod with one of my co-founders, Chris Black.
Yeah, we should start calling each other co-founders. That's a cool idea. If we just
every time we do a show and you say something quite offensive to another race, sex, or person, and I go, what my founder meant to say with that statement was,
yeah, you know. You just come back me up. No, yeah, okay. co-founders of How Long Gone here, ready to podcast.
I like it. Yeah, so we're over here in Glendale. There's been I'm more sensitive to it as a person who autistically is obsessed with the weather, inherited by my family, I guess. I don't know how. I've been noticing weather trends, but not in terms of like literal weather patterns, but in how we talk about weather.
Oh, okay.
Because of our sort of, you know, our attention spans, our branding and marketing brains, you know, we can't just say like normal weather terms, like clinical terms like a rainstorm or a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
All the rainstorms that are happening in LA have branding, have like brand guideline kits attached to them.
So do you mean like a certain kind of language that maybe is a little alarmist or unnecessary to make the storm seem worse and scary?
It is sensationalized. So like a thing that I noticed that's been trending lately is instead of having rainstorms,
uh-huh,
or like when you turn on KTLA Channel 5 News and they would be like, a rainstorm is coming, rain is going to come from the sky and it's going to land on the ground for a while, and that's called a rainstorm. But now it's called an atmospheric river. Every time it's going to rain, it's an atmospheric river.
That's a Frank Ocean B-side, first and foremost. But that, wow,
atmospheric river. They do all my white label 12 inches for my breakcore side project.
Bro, that is honestly one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Are you sure that it doesn't specify something different? Like, could it possibly mean something more than just a classic rainstorm?
I mean,
or is it somebody who just...
It is quite possible. I think it is good branding because, like, I guess, like, when a rainstorm comes, like, it literally is more or less an atmospheric river in the sky that pools up and collects, and then when it becomes too bloated with its own,
sure. No one's arguing how rain happens.
So it's sort of like, you know, it's like a Don Draper moment where he's looking at the dry erase board and it says atmospheric rivers, and they're like, oh, genius, because it's technically not wrong. It's just a reshuffling of words for our brains. But more so, there's this everyone is worried about this rainstorm that's going to come to LA today. Grammy weekend, you know, the Chateau is going to be a movie, and that movie is going to be, you know, some sort of disaster
Waterworld
film. It's going to be Waterworld. Thank you, co-founder.
No
problem. But this one, because this sort of weather pattern, like the atmospheric pressure system originated near Hawaii,
uh-huh,
they're calling this the Pineapple Express.
Oh, man.
So when it rains today and tomorrow, it's Pineapple Express.
Oh, man.
Well, that's not so much the fascinating part or the thing that I'm interested in. I'm interested to know did we all just arrive on this ourselves, unsolicited? Or is somebody out there really being like, all right, guys, weather is slipping. We need, who has new ideas about rebranding rain or snow or heat or whatever? Like, is this premeditated and planned? Or are we all just that retarded that we just have to call today's rain Pineapple Express?
I want to say it's premeditated and planned, but I feel like this could be the work of kind of like a weatherman or person who, and you know, this is very common with newscasters in
a blue-haired weather barista
in Los Angeles, where they all are kind of failed actors. They're like way better looking than news host, you know, anyone.
Don't come for Dallas Rains.
No, I don't know who that is. That sounds like a porn star. But my point is that maybe one of these failed actor weather people need something. They want to put their stamp on the weather. They've dedicated their life to this. And they're like, what if I become kind of the, what if I coin, you know.
I need a catchphrase. He was up late watching Seinfeld on Netflix with half a blunt, and he goes, you know what? I need my own no soup for you, or else I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get picked up next
season. Yeah, exactly. I could get replaced. There's a million 25-year-old women with communications degrees from Virginia Tech that want this job.
I'm on the business end of 50, you know?
I mean,
Lord knows I can't afford Botox on a weather person's salary.
This is, it's definitely someone swing for the fences. It's like, you know, when you coin normcore and all of a sudden you're dining out forever on that. This does happen. We reward this kind of stuff.
I don't like seeing, because like you and I, we love, you know, slang and putting words to things and blah, blah. It is by nature a dorky activity, but you know, funny, cool people coin phrases and terms all the time, and we all enjoy it and we like saying it. But you can kind of see when you like watch the news or you watch like a game show or like sports casters or like, you know, the NBA recap guys, when you see them like in trying out or inventing like a new thing that young people are saying.
You could just
see this look on their face of like, oh my God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say Pineapple Express. You know, and it whatever word transcends cringe, that's what I experience.
No, that is, I mean, I think that we're all looking for a leg up.
Cringe river.
In our big bad world. But the weatherman.
I get it.
The weatherman is someone I go to strictly for information, not for creative flair. And this goes back to my theory that everyone thinks they should be creative, and that's not necessarily true. And I think weather people, although some are funny, you know, I've seen some clips of weather, you know, they're kind of the court jester of the cable news or the network news.
Mm-hmm.
So I see how this could happen, and I think we've gotten to the bottom of this. I think it's someone trying to make a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you do rise, like every local LA weather person through the years has had a cameo appearance in a film or a television show at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. like if you really nail atmospheric river Pineapple Express, and like you get like Mount Rushmore of the weather game. Mm-hmm. You become goated in the meteorological
and you know,
community.
You know, Judd Apatow is going to find a spot for you.
Judd's going to, Iron Man 4. Yeah, I think I could clear my schedule. You know, something like that.
No, I think this is very, I mean, look, it's cool that they're doing
Apatow's
it,
call it.
On television instead of like social media. I like that. I like the fact that it's like a kind of old school. It sounds like something that would come from like a 50-year-old. That's why it doesn't sound like a TikToker, which I like. It's refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. We're doing it the old-fashioned way.
We're doing it
with our hands.
Yeah, exactly. We built
this. We're getting in a van that needs a lot of work. And we're going to drive to a place and film it with big old heavy cameras that need to be replaced.
Yeah, exactly. It
has real grit to it. It's #35.
It has real grit to it. You can feel it. You know what I'm saying? It's got some.
Chewing on it right now. It's like I'm chewing on this nice cup full of tea that I've just made this morning as well.
Yeah, you mentioned that you were having tea, which is hot water with a little bit of flavoring. And I was wondering.
So that's also coffee?
Coffee has a stronger flavor, I would say, than most teas.
Not when I make it, bitch.
I find tea, it's just too hot. is the honest, is the God's honest truth. It's just too, it's just, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's just too hot.
Wait, what's too hot? Coffee or tea?
Tea. Every time in my life I've ordered a tea, which is, you know, rarely, because it's embarrassing. Unless you're British, you shouldn't drink tea. And or a singer. If you're a singer or British, you can drink tea. If you're a man, if you're Jason Stewart, this is crazy.
If you're a British singer, have two cups a day.
Oh, if you're, yeah, you're having a cup every hour. If you're Adele, for God's sake.
Okay, I'm just picturing in my mind the scenario where somebody hands you a cup of boiling water and you proclaim it to be too hot.
I mean, it is too hot. It's just always, you have to wait so long. It's not fun.
What can we do? I mean, obviously it's a ridiculous gripe because you just wait, 60 seconds. I mean, you have to wait.
Not 60. You know, yeah, come
three
on.
To four. You have to upwards wait 3 minutes upwards, for the.
Upwards of 5 minutes, Jason. Maybe 8 minutes if you okay, want to hit good steep, which I'm sure you do.
8 minutes? No.
Bro, it's possible. If the water is that hot.
Of course it's possible.
But my point is that coffee, if you go to a good place, mm-hmm. it should be able to sip when they hand it to you is what I've been, you know, if you get a pour over, when they hand it to you, you can take a sip.
Yes, yes, yes.
When they hand you an espresso, you can take a sip. When they hand you a piping hot cup of green tea, I got to sit around for 5 minutes mm-hmm. and wait before I can have a sip. I don't have the patience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I just don't have the patience.
I see. So maybe it would be better if we kind of brewed a big giant thingy of tea and then just sat in those warming mm-hmm. spigot dispensers. That's, mm-hmm. but you know, they don't have those. Do they have those in London or in England?
No,
or where,
no, no,
where
no,
people
no.
people always no. drink the tea fresh, right?
Yeah, of course. But I also want to point out that tea tastes bad, and that's another mm-hmm. reason that I don't really like it. I mean, a peppermint tea occasionally is pretty good.
Calling me
gay. I tried a green tea phase in my 20s.
Yeah, we all have.
I guess I thought I was like a beatnik, but the.
Beatnik green tea drinker. That's funny.
But the flavor made me kind of, it made me feel kind of nauseous, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I've experienced nausea like side effects from green tea.
It seems
I think you're too white to drink it and your body is sort of rejecting it.
Okay.
Your body is carrying the green tea flavor.
I don't, it's ridiculous.
Your body smells green tea and calls the manager. Who's the manager of your body? That's God. Let's go pay some bills. Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. Mm. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca. You don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off, that's more than half, at babbel.com/howlong, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com /how long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I'm unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
That's probably fair. That's probably fair. I don't think that I just have no use for tea. I just have no use for it. Why would,
yeah.
It doesn't give you energy. It doesn't. Hey. So what's the point? I'd rather just drink water.
Tea does have caffeine and it does give you energy.
But it's very,
not to burst the bub.
It's trace amounts. It's like,
of course. Well, you're used to drinking concentrated cold brew straight, uncut. So it's like me saying like, hey, if you take 7 Benadryls, you can kind of get it. And you're like, I do Oxycontin, so you know that's
no,
cute,
of course.
But I know, you know, we're kind of tea, in a different category now.
Tea and coffee. Let me say this: tea is like rubbing your finger in the baggie when it's all gone and putting it in your mouth, and coffee is pouring out a couple nice fat rails on the CD case and getting busy.
Yeah,
that's what I would say. And I don't. Coffee also, I like the way it tastes. Like that's, I really like the way it tastes.
Hey, don't get me wrong. All these things are true, and I appreciate all that. Will I get any points for only drinking straight PG tips unsweetened?
Yeah, that is cool. No, that's cool.
Okay.
Because I thought
some,
I thought you might go full Anglophile mode and put a little milk in it, which is something I really cannot wrap my peanut head around.
Yeah, what do you think about a nice London fog, like a tea with a steamed milk going on?
I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's very like...
It's more queer than a football puck, if you ask me.
I'm sure if you're wearing a big camel color cable neck turtleneck sweater and you have your Uggs on and you have your Elder Statesman blanket over your legs and you're watching,
you pull the Rivian up and you say, just leave it running, I'll just be a moment.
Yeah, if you put a little logs on the fire, the dogs curled up next to you, I'm mm-hmm. sure that could be great. But
you just smashed a Hayes Valley 6. You're about to pull up that fog.
Hey, do you want anything to drink? Actually, have you ever had a London fog?
I know it sounds weird.
No, it's crazy.
It's actually so good.
No, it's not like the jacket. It's like the milk kind of.
I'm not talking about the trench coats popularized in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, of course not.
JCPenney, no.
Don't get it twisted. Yeah, that is. I do appreciate that for you. So I'm glad that you're... Are you trying to wean off coffee or you just want to have a little less during the day?
I think it's a little bit of... it's kind of like a placebo-ish. Like a lot of times when I'm drinking a coffee, you know, like if I'm like slammed and I'm like feeling low energy, I'll have 2, maybe 3 coffees in a day.
Mm.
And I just... I wonder if I'm drinking it because I need it or if I'm drinking it just the simple fact of like a hot cup of flavored liquid in general, if that will scratch my itch. I just, you know, I don't want to be over caffeinated in situations where I'm unable to burn it all off. Like,
yeah,
if I'm going to slam a bunch of coffee, but I'm going to go, you know, hit the fucking the assault bike in 20, then that's fine. But if I'm just going to like, you know, jack off and watch Hulu, then it's going to create a tropical storm of anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think coffee really works on me anymore, to be honest, except in like the first cup in the morning does, but
you sound like the Verve.
It's true.
Ass motherfucker.
The bean doesn't work. And then I had a delicious, you know, cortado this afternoon. And it tasted good, but I had some droopy lids, you know, on the ride.
You were far from geeking.
I was,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, the best time, when I feel the most geeked up off coffee is when you get to Europe and you're jet lagged and you take like a little nap for an hour,
mm-hmm.
not too long. Then you take a shower and then you have a coffee and you're fucking flying.
Right.
That's
right,
when
right.
it's. That it feels like the first time.
That's the closest that your ass is going to get to
exactly
any cocaine related high.
Exactly, because I've tried some of these. You know, I tried the Celsius. That shit didn't do anything to me.
No shit.
Like it was fine, but it's like it wasn't. I mean, maybe I should try some of these. They have some weird Swedish ones at the 7-Eleven here. Maybe I should just grab a couple and see which one, you know, puts my heart rate.
It wasn't the roller coaster ride that you were. Maybe worried it was going
to
be.
Yeah, Celsius has been sold to me like a magic drug, like when Adderall came out or something.
Maybe
like
you should try. I think we maybe already talked about it, but Liquid IV makes an energy powder.
Oh no, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Oh, that's a yeah. I'll try that.
And it honestly does get you geeked up. It's like it's go-go juice.
Because pre-workout, I take it less now because it just the taste is so gnarly. Like it just it like mm-hmm. that having that early in the morning just didn't sit right. You know what I mean? And I think like everything else, it has diminishing returns if you use it every day.
1,000%. I mean, it makes candy look like foie gras in terms of the sweetness level when you drink it. You know, it's just like sour watermelon warhead, and you're having that at fucking 5:15 a.m.
It's just like it tastes, and I know it tastes like chemicals because it is chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
But it like. You know what I mean? Actually, it's probably all natural for all I know, but it does often smell and taste like something that could really kind of take the paint off the walls.
There's always something in there where you're like, I don't know how they made this taste so good with no sugar, no calories, and no fat. And you're like,
exactly.
The answer will scare you.
Yeah, don't look into this any further.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited for the 2024 Grammy Awards?
No. No, not at all. But I mean, I'm excited to hopefully go to a Grammy party tonight.
Why would you? Are you going to go or not?
Well, Pineapple Express could ruin my plans.
You're going to let rain. You're going to let Mother Nature dictate what them jeans does? Do not be a cuck, bro.
It's a sliding scale. Obviously, if it's like a little bit of rain or even a normal amount of rain, that's not going to deter me. But if it's like, you know, Hurricane Sandy ass type beat, then where you sideways rain and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, it's a Sunday. It's cozy. I got a new SNL to watch and, you know, smoke something and eat some meatballs or something. It starts to get easy to go outside and, you know, like, you want to dress up.
I get it. You want to put on a suit.
You don't want to like finally make your way into a party and everyone's like socks can be wrung out into a 16 ounce cup. Full of gutter water.
Well, hopefully,
makes it not so fun.
Hopefully, Mark Ronson will have some Gucci socks kind of in the booth for him to change.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice
when he gets there? But I think that I guess look, I hate the rain. You know that it really bothers me. But in LA, it's different because I'm in a car. It doesn't. I don't think about it as hard. But yeah, of course, if it's gonna.
I mean, I look forward to going to this party. I feel bad for not going to the GQ party last night though. But I can only do two. One Chateau. Sorry. One Chateau per weekend.
I'm bummed to miss the W party, but I'm also bummed to miss the show because I want to see how many times SZA loses, and people are going to get really, really, really mad about it. But there's no way.
Is SZA your Greta Gerwig?
No. I SZA has a beautiful singing voice. She's like a superstar. She sells a shitload of tickets, crazy streams, zero songs, just none.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Olivia Rodrigo will beat her.
Sounds like Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, kind of true.
No songs.
But I think the other thing is that we got a lot of Miley Cyrus.
What do you mean?
Like she's gonna
she's nominated a lot.
She's gonna win a bunch of awards for that song "Flowers." That like I kind of know every word to, but have also never heard somehow. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't.
No. I mean that song. It was quietly quite huge.
Huge, huge, huge.
I think it's just because of like regular radio. Like 102.7 Kiss FM type shit.
But you know, Boy Genius is going on hiatus, so I just want to thank them for that.
Yeah, what exactly were the words that them used?
We're going away for a while or something.
Going away.
Like that they were going to jail. But I think that it's really
it's a full breakup, right?
I mean, I think they hate each other, but I also think that you know, what I told you, what I've been told is Lucy and Julian are dating now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a internal power struggle. Whether that is true or not, I don't know. But
it's a mutiny.
But they're one of those bands, and this happens all the time to all kinds of different, you know, celebrities. But where you just get it just something happens, and it's like the Anne Hathaway thing. People just turn.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like you're bigger than ever. You're making more money than ever. Everything's good, but like the people who started with you are no longer with you, and I think that can be discouraging.
Yeah, I agree. You got to get back to your roots.
You got to get back to your roots. Also,
whatever that may be.
I mean, they've made, I don't know how much more money you can make, you know, without having to go make another record, which is a more difficult process.
Yeah, leave some scraps for Muna, right?
Exactly. Come on. And I think they'll win for Not Strong Enough. They'll definitely win an award.
Yeah, they'll win an award.
It's nice to go out on top.
I like calling a bunch of millionaires in their 20s going out.
yeah.
Going out on top.
Me too.
They've only just begun.
Me too. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm bummed that I'm...
I don't even know. I mean, the Grammys, I mean, like, pretty much every single award show... I mean, I really only like the Golden Globes, actually.
Okay, let me ask you. Let me go into a category that you have a deep understanding of. Mm-hmm. The best dance electronic recording. Aphex Twin, Black Box Life Recorder, 21F, oh, really? Disclosure.
Wait, hold on. Let me look at, okay, 2024.
I'm going to read them to you because I want to. Aphex Twin, Disclosure, Higher Than Ever Before, James Blake, Loading, Romy and Fred Again, Strong, Skrillex, Fred Again, and Flodan, Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you thinking here? Because look, Pitchfork is saying Skrillex, Fred Again, and Flodan should win, but Romy and Fred Again will win. It is in a jungle.
You saying this is so funny.
What do you think?
Let me look. I have to look at it for some reason.
It's okay.
I'm scrolling right now. I'm scrolling.
But can I ask a quick question?
Okay. Best dance electronic recording, Aphex Twin, Black Box Life Recorder 21F. Okay. Aphex Twin, James Blake. Because when you said James Blake, Loading, I'm like, oh, Loading is the name of a group. Higher Than Ever Before. Okay. The Skrillex Fred Again Rumble song was maybe bigger, and it's going to get the Brit Award, maybe not the Grammy.
Okay.
It'd be cool to see Skrillex win an award. I don't think...
Does he not have one already from the Bieber stuff? He must.
He probably does.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be... I obviously personally want Aphex Twin to win this, even though that song, I don't even know.
I was going to ask.
I haven't listened to his newest record a ton.
I didn't know he put out... I thought he was done. I didn't know he put out new music.
No, he did. He's back okay, now and, like, touring and, like, playing festivals.
Okay, but this is fairly recent. Like, he hasn't... He did take a long period silence.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't totally behind the ball.
I mean, just I don't know if any electronic dance Grammy ever felt right. It's just kind of like, to me, it doesn't even seem like a category that should even be in the Grammys.
Hey, that makes two of us. But look, it's there. It's there.
Like, it just feels wrong. You know what I mean? Not unlike when I was watching the We Are the World documentary on Netflix. That just came out this week.
I want to watch it. I've heard it's good.
It is good, but in speaking of wrong categories at an award show, there, you know, this was like the mid 80s, so it was a long time ago, but it wasn't, you know, the 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
And even back then, the category was just called like black music. It would be like black singer.
Jesus.
The American Music Awards, not the Grammys, but
still.
I mean, nowadays they don't have any racial distinction in a category, but it would be sort of like urban. They would say that for a while.
But back then, in
a time when we were both alive,
yes, yeah,
it just was straight up called black category.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I mean, I don't personally.
That's my new faggot team.
I don't think white people should be allowed to win an R&B award or a hip hop award.
Yeah,
much like. You shouldn't wear Jordans or Timberlands. That's just not our thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
are you listening, Justin?
That won't stop him from trying. Don't do that, Jason. You're not selfish, bro. Don't do that. But it's gonna be. It's gonna be a big show. And I guess I'm gonna have to watch clips. I mean, I don't. I'm sure her will perform. You know, I'm sure. You know, it'll be more of the same. But Jack Antonoff will win Producer of the Year.
You think so?
You know,
who do you think is gonna win the Song of the Year? Let me see here.
Song
of the Year, that is A&W, Lana Del Rey, which I don't know why everyone loves that song so much. That's there's five other songs on that album that are better, in my opinion. Taylor Swift, Anti-Hero, Jean-Baptiste and Dan Wilson, Butterfly. You love and know that song, right? That was
yeah. Jean-Baptiste.
It was weird.
Jean-Baptiste is one of those guys that I know exactly what he looks like. I know he's extremely talented, like a gifted musician. Have never heard a single note of music. Have no idea what it's
of course
like.
Not
none.
But when it was, I think it was either the Emmys or the Golden Globes, where him and another person were presenting an award, and they were getting really silly, and they were almost doing like this aloof kind of stoner character vibe, whatever. But he was hilarious to me.
Really?
For some reason, Jean-Baptiste...
He killed.
I was like, this motherfucker is funny.
That's cool.
Like when you see Vince Staples, and you're like, he's kind of a funny guy. Like, his raps are kind of serious, but then you're like, oh, wait a minute, he's like very, very funny. Like, that's cool. It's not that unexpected for him, a rapper, to be funny. You know, it sort of goes hand in hand. But for a you know, a quiet guy who plays like piano thingies to be like kind of like a stoner funny guy.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's
really came out of left field.
That's a nice twist.
Dance the Night, we got Dua Lipa, Mark Ronson, Andrew Riot. There's two of those three people are Hell on Gone alumni. Dua, whenever you're ready, babes.
Look, I would love for anyone that has been on our show to win. You know,
yeah, that's only good for our algo.
Only good for our algo. But Olivia Rodrigo, Vampire, SZA, Kill Bill,
Flowers, Miley Cyrus,
yeah,
and then Billie Eilish from Barbie.
Yeah, I mean,
she's not going to win that.
No,
because she already won that for.
I mean, that's what Pitchfork is actually saying. Lana should win, but Billy will win.
Oh, I like the should and will.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's a cool way to break it down. But I mean, I don't know, man. None of these songs are. I don't know. I don't think about these songs really. But which one do you? You know what? Let's do this. Which one do you think is the most like ubiquitous, like inescapable? This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah, from cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah, so if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG.
Taylor Swift feels like it's the most unescapable because she's not only the biggest recording artist, but arguably the most famous human being alive on planet Earth, transcending all political heroes and other celebrities and sports people, right? She's the most famous person alive, so
yeah,
that feels the most. But I think maybe I mean, the Barbie movie was huge, and the Dua Lipa song was on the radio constantly, as well as Vampire, but it was not as big as the other song.
I think Flowers is actually probably,
but it might, I think you might be right with Flowers,
most ubiquitous. Not because it's so great, but it's just like it's a sleeper, I think, somehow. It just didn't,
yeah,
it didn't make like a, no one talked about it except like Billboard, because of like the charts, yeah, and the streaming. Like it was
a true definition of an earworm.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I guess that happens more now than it used to, but it's still pretty wild.
I think that you're right. It should win because it crossed over to so many things, because it feels like a country song, but it can be played on hip-hop ish leaning stage, yeah, you know, platforms. It crossed all over.
It can go
old
anywhere.
People, young people, it's across the board. Yeah, it was funny, I was actually talking about Olivia Rodrigo a little bit yesterday when we were driving to dinner, Carolyn and I, because it came on the radio, and she was like, you know, she was saying like she knows people, you know, friends or people that she works with who just like they love Olivia Rodrigo, and she's like, I just, she was trying to figure out why what gives her the ick about Rodrigo. And we sort of deduce that it's sort of, unless you're like 13, which is the target demographic for her music, but it's like a similarity to like a Disney adult.
Yeah.
If you're over the, if you're out of high school and listening to it earnestly.
That's because the lyrics are tough. If you, the music is just straight hits. Like it's like.
Yeah, the music is straight hits, but the lyrics are like high school theater.
Yes.
Kid where, and we were saying it's like the lyrics aren't being sung. They're just literally describing word for word what is exactly happening instead of creating some poetry around it.
That doesn't bother. That doesn't bother.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
I mean, but like when the lyrics are like, "I saw you in my chemistry class after lunch, and then you broke my heart into a million pieces, and I rode my."
But that I agree. It's not for us. That's absolutely true, and that's why it was so funny when it came out that, like, you know, 40-year-old men were the only ones debating its merit. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, it's like it doesn't. Trust me, your daughter is listening to it. That's what actually matters.
Well, do you know what 40-year-old men love?
Young girls?
19-year-old girls with fake tits.
Hey, don't do that, Jason. Don't do that. We don't know that.
Check the Reddit. We know it. I mean, they know it. They know it.
I wanted to talk about the trend that's been going on Instagram, another insufferable trend.
Mm-hmm.
Where everyone you know is posting a picture of themselves at 21 years old.
Oh, I thought you were going to say... I live in Glendale. Of course I drive a G-Wagon.
No, I haven't.
I'm a blank. Of course I blank. You don't know about this?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. I've seen that. No, that doesn't bother. The 21 thing bothers me because people don't realize that they're just showing that they used to be thinner and better looking.
Sure.
I don't understand. I don't understand what you want from this, but the desperate need to participate in like a trend like this just seems... Also, I don't have a picture of myself when I'm 21. I would have to, like, call my mom.
I'm a grown-ass man.
I mean, like, also, I look like shit.
Collecting old photos of me? Well, not everyone looked at shit like shit at 21.
Yeah, of course.
Do you commend it a little bit more? Do you excuse it a little bit if they looked worse at 21 versus much better, younger and hotter?
I mean...
Skin tight, crevice-free...
I just don't think
you don't love it either way.
No, I think people are playing themselves regardless. Either they're trying to show you they're hot now or they're trying to show you you're hot then. It's not because it's like, look how silly this is.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Congratulations.
Well, to me, I look at it as like, you should not have this much free time.
Okay. Well, look, we both know we do.
You as an adult,
we both know
this is not the best use of your time.
We both have that much free time, first of all, and I agree that I don't want to spend it that way. But I think that it's the way that people have like pictures of their childhood photos or pictures of their parents on their phones. I'm just like, I've never even thought about that.
Yeah, it's all these people who have healthy family relationships or something.
Not even that. It's just like,
it's fucking,
like I go home to my parents' house to chill and hang out with my parents and see my sister and her kids, but I'm actually like, hey mom, do you have any photo albums from when I was a kid? And
your mom is like, I've been waiting.
How much time do you have, Christopher? I mean, I have a couple pictures of me in high school where I'm, you know, 400 pounds and wearing like a cool Operation Ivy shirt or a drawers skateboarding t-shirt that I do value, but those are for me
to scotch tape to my refrigerator door, and so every time I go in there to have one of my fat-free yogurt bars I look at myself when I was a fat fucking bitch at 21.
I just put my fat picture on top of the tiramisu in the fridge, and that I have to move it to have a bite. So, you know, it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder.
Yeah, I have my photo of me at 400 pounds. I was not 400 pounds. Neither were you.
No.
It's taped to the top of my pull up bar, and it gets me. on that when I want to go one more to exhaustion.
Yeah, to exhaustion. You got to touch your chin. You got to touch your chin to the photo, mm-hmm. or a rep doesn't count.
Yeah, Hunter says no. Back up.
No, back up. You know, Hunter's big on full extension, which is something that's really been sticking with me during my travels.
Pause,
Jason. if you're doing anything, you know, if you're doing like a bent over row, let's say,
yeah,
the arm, you know, should always go fully extended on the down, you know, like you never want to cut it short.
But then when you go all the way down, is Hunter also having you explore with like then sort of rotating out your shoulders to really get all the way down?
Oh, he's
like when you're doing like a hang and then you can kind of move your shoulders.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Tuck them in and tuck them out.
He's big on the when you're doing push-ups on the rings. So you lower the rings close to the ground and you do push-ups. And when you get to the top, you're supposed to turn your wrists out, which is extremely hard.
Yeah, sure.
Extremely hard. It sucks.
One more last little push.
It sucks.
That's how you get those defined whatever muscles between your wrist and the middle of your forearm are.
Yeah.
That gets them wet, brother, man.
I'm getting a lot of ads for like forearm boosting devices.
Forearm boosting device, like 5G?
No, I wish. Like the thing, you know, the shit you just squeeze and it, you know, you're supposed to squeeze it all day. Like the old school ones look like a kind of, you know, two pronged, but now they have all these different ones that like attach weird.
Like the Grip Master that you would squeeze before your guitar solo.
Exactly. It's exactly.
No, I've seen what you're talking about, and they look like these heavy little things that kind of look like tiny handlebars on a motorcycle.
Yes,
and you
yes.
like rotate them around. I do stuff like that all the time.
That I have a
not. I don't have a device for it, but I do it with like a kettlebell.
I have a set. I mean, Hunter actually gave me one a couple years ago for a gift, and I keep it in LA, and I do like to do it if I'm just sitting around. But I feel like it's like the jaw thing. Like you have to do it.
Yeah,
you know, fucking 5 minutes a day for a year for anything to happen, and I just don't know if I have.
Yeah, the, and that know. Reminds me of bitch ass Iron Neck. Those motherfuckers, when we were talking about them on the podcast, and then they sent me a DM, which was a screenshot of a photo of my neck, and then sent a photo of my neck to me saying, you know, you need to use the Iron Neck because you have the neck of a bitch. And then I was like, yeah, okay, I have a bitch neck. Here's my address. And they don't even send it to me. I'm like, are you fucking losers going to send this shit to me? Or I'm not going to buy an Iron Neck.
If you're going
to
clown me for having a little pin neck, in your case, obviously, then...
My neck is getting gains. It's slowly getting...
No, fine. I think your neck looks great. Pause. But I just don't... I don't know why... I assumed that flirtatious DM from Iron Neck meant they wanted to send you one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mixed signals.
Like, that's what that means. And they're gaslighting you. They're gaslighting you.
Also, is Iron Neck the new Supahead in terms of like dick sucking champions?
That's not something I've heard, but I mean, anything
well,
is possible.
Well, no, I mean, it's because I invented it right now in real time.
I haven't listened to the Joe Budden podcast latest episode, but they probably say it. You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Here come old Iron Neck.
That's honestly something they would say. That's very...
I'm glad I took a shower today. Old Iron Neck came over. So how are you... Obviously, you're checking out some videos and content on Twitter from the new Apple Vision Pro goggles, positive and negative. What are you...
I'm actually...
What are you vibing on?
I'm writing about it for my column.
Pulling weeds?
Column this week, yeah. Because I was going to write about how Chloe Sevigny opened up the floor to hate dogs, but I realized that I might get in too much. That might just be too hot for me.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it would be too hot. So, yeah, I mean, I think
Kimchi's mommy and daddy are going to come hunt you down.
Exactly. I don't want to get run over by a Rivian, speaking of. But the with a husky, of course. But the goggles are, I mean, it's abysmal, of course. Like, it, you know, I mean, it's unnecessary. It's stupid. You look like a fucking idiot. Like, but I think that, like, it is, if it fails, which it will. And I want to be clear. I was right about Threads. Threads failed miserably. Miserably failed.
Well, Threads is just an app, not a device. But you are not wrong. There's still a chance that Threads could...
No.
Come back no. Because Twitter is always sort of teetering on a razor's edge. Like if Twitter shuts down tomorrow, no one will be shocked.
No, that's true.
It just sort of feels like it's holding on for dear life like LimeWire servers or something.
I just know the goggles are, I mean, I just, it's stuff like this has existed for a while, obviously. Like I remember going over to Emil's house, you know, a year ago or something, and he had some Oculus headset and Mm-hmm. It was like I put it on and I rode a roller coaster and I was like, okay, cool. And that was it. I didn't think about it again. It was pretty kooky, but like.
But what about when you open it up? What when Emil opens up his Oculus at the crib? He's got some bomb ass incense going, and he just wiggles his little hand over and opens the OnlyFans app on the Oculus. You know what I mean? Things could change.
No, I understand. Look, I understand why people are excited about it, but I just think it's just another kind of unnecessary nerd culture thing that they're trying to push into the mainstream that I just don't think people need
it. Nobody needs it. I agree with that. Nobody needs an Apple Watch, but you know, here we are.
Apple Watch,
billions
Apple,
and billions of dollars.
Apple Watch is obviously the most embarrassing accessory you can wear.
Not more than the Vision Pro.
But that's not an accessory. That's the thing. The watch.
Okay.
That is a device. The watch to me is like a seeing people looking at text messages on their wrist still shocks me. But mm-hmm. I think it's almost even more diabolical because it's you're physically connected to it because it's strapped to your wrist mm-hmm. versus a phone that you can like put down. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's almost one step away from inserting a chip to get buzzed when someone is trying to contact you.
Yeah, and I can't wait until I can finally be chipped so I could track all of my vitals. I could close all my rings without having to wear an embarrassing watch. But I think the Apple Vision Pro is currently unnecessary, and it's obviously a thing that only people who are rich dorks are going to buy.
Yeah, it's at the intersection of rich and dork that is
it was 35, $4,000 with tax and everything out the door once you get the.
It's probably $4,000 when you get the battery pack extendo. It doesn't come cheap.
Once you get the clear coat finish, the Apple Care, blah, blah, blah.
Once you get the.
You want to validate your parking? Yeah, we're touching $4 now. But I think that once. Right now, it is not necessary. I think in maybe 5 years when we're all sort of normalized to it, technology catches up to it, it becomes smaller, easier to use, longer battery, more realistic. I think we're going to have like a divide where it's like 50% of the people have made the leap into this world and 50%, depending on how old you are or how cool you are or how much you earth and touch grass and have crystals by your bed and blah, blah, blah. There's going to be like that's going to be like the real civil war of like, you know, that's too much. I ain't doing it. At a certain point, we're not going to have phones. We're not going to have computers. This is just going to be it.
I mean, maybe when we're dead, but it ain't going to happen while we're alive. Like that level of
technological advancements exponentially grow.
No.
Year over year. So crazy.
Oh, I'm not talking about that. I just mean that I think there's going to be a lot of people living that will not accept it, like you're saying. I mean, it's like, dude, there's also a lot of people, Jason.
Smell like broken here.
There's a lot of people in New York that ride around on fucking skateboards that they push a button and it's got a battery.
Yeah.
Powered. Mm-hmm. Somebody thought that was revolutionary too. That is only for dorks. No one else does that. It's dorks only. Or the one wheel device that's also controlled by a remote.
I mean, you know, you saw when you watched Back to the Future Part 2 and they had the hoverboard. Every kid saw that and they were just like, this is as good as life could get. So of course people want to recreate something like that where you can zip around town. And in 10 years, those are also technologically going to advance to a place where that could replace just walking, you know?
No, I mean, look, anything is possible. But
I don't want this to happen.
But I just feel like it's another step in the wrong direction for our crumbling society. And I the real issue I have with it, and I'm gonna unpack this more, but is like, how desperate are we to avoid human contact? Like, how much less human contact can we have? You know, like it's this feels like the end of the road for having friends that you see for real life interactions.
Yeah, a death knell.
Yes,
I guess this as dessert and the COVID lockdown as the main course. It's a real 1-2 punch that makes staying home and not going to the party because it's raining outside that much easier.
Yeah, yeah. Like tonight, if it rains and you had your Apple Vision headset,
I'd have the best seats in the house.
You could work on your Excel spreadsheets with your eyes while Mark takes home a Grammy. I was literally reading about it before we started because I was trying to understand all the stuff it does, and this is obviously the best version we've ever had, but I think it's far from perfect, you know, like as far as
what
you can actually do with it. But I mean, Ray-Ban did this with Snapchat and nobody cared about that. But that's a weak version, obviously.
Yeah, that's only to take candid photographs of people in public. I think that's the only purpose those really serve.
Yes.
If I was involved in the Las Vegas sphere, I'm shaking in my boots right now because I feel like the Apple Vision Pro, basically, you can sort of recreate that exact same feeling and sensation while I'm sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess you can't advertise on it in the same way, you know. But
the outside of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The outside, the part that I actually think is cool. no. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, Chris is like, wait a minute, you can go inside the sphere?
Hold on. What the hell?
I thought John Mayer was just going to like stand on top of it like Jared Leto.
It's so cool. It's so cool that the Grateful Dead is just like, you know what? You know what, guys? I know we said it was our last tour ever after like being on tour for 135 years, but the money is just too good in Vegas. We got to do like 12 shows.
Yeah. We said we would never get back together again after the 900th farewell tour unless... some Las Vegas billionaires from Saudi Arabia built a giant sphere and had an emoji on it. That's the only thing that we would ever do to get this band back together.
It does feel the dead do feel so lo-fi that this feels like an interesting choice. You know what I mean? Like that feels like they should be playing in a field somewhere in Oakland, not in a, you know, space age dome.
Not in an IMAX theater?
LED screens every inch. This toilet's an LED screen. I mean... money is money. I can't even hate like all those fucking what do they call them,
a deadhead?
Yeah, no, there's something else they call oh my god, starts with a W. Wookiees.
Spearhead.
Wookiees. Oh. You know, like all like that. It's just you're
like white dread people.
Yeah. Like they're gonna go to the lot, they're gonna do the whole thing. It's like this make, I mean, but like, look what Adele's doing now. She's doing a residency in Munich.
Why not?
And that seems like an odd choice, but I assume it's because Munich is like a extremely central part of Europe and it has like a big international airport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? It feels like it was chosen for that
Munich
reason.
Munich got not, bands like, too.
Not, yeah, but it's, I guarantee it's going to be, you know, more than half the people are from out of town every show, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's fly-ins.
It's fly-ins only.
Because like the only people who are going to be able to afford the Grateful Dead in Vegas are like the rich old guys who are flying in on their planes and everything like that. I want to know, you know that movie, I think it's The Purge, where like the theme is like one day out of every year, the police take the day off and then anyone can
they should do that.
You can do all the crimes that you want. Crime is, it's a lawless land for 24 hours. Do whatever you want to do. Is Vegas going to have to do that with class A psychedelic drug arrests?
I think the cops will be turning a blind eye.
Is this a deal breaker? Did somebody have to have a conversation? Because the drug laws in Las Vegas have notoriously been more strict than any other place because they want to encourage you to just drink their alcohol and make money.
Yeah, but they don't know that doing coke makes you want to drink more. That's stupid. Well, that's stupid.
Now that weed is legal everywhere, it's not a big deal. But for the longest time, like it was always odd to me that Las Vegas, of all places, had like the most strict marijuana laws. Like I remember we would go to Vegas. And if we had like a little bit of Molly or coke or weed, we would be like shook, like we're going to the airport, because everyone would say like, don't get busted with drugs. Like,
yeah,
it's not a slap on the wrist. They like straight up jail your ass.
They're throwing you under the jail. It's funny. I watched Oceans. Mm-hmm. I watched Oceans 13 last night because it was on TV here in Stockholm with some Swedish subtitles. And I'm really in a Vegas.
That's the most Euro trip shit to watch ever. Oceans 13 with commercials. Oh,
I'm in a Vegas mindset now, though. I'm ready to go lose it all.
So Oceans 13, that's the Vegas one.
Yeah, that's where there's a casino. they're trying to take down,
mm-hmm.
And they of course succeed. But what a blockbuster cast!
Yeah, those Ocean's movies,
honestly unbelievable.
When they come on, I always want to watch them because those ensembles.
They don't make them like that anymore, Jason.
I mean, it's almost as good as the Pen 15 girl and Childish Gambino together to play Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
It is. It's almost as good.
I mean, there's no way it's going to be worse than the original one. Sorry.
No, that's true. That's true. You didn't watch SNL, right?
Not yet. No.
Okay. Well,
so Ayo and J Lo had beef, or she wrote some tweets about J Lo.
It was a podcast, I guess.
Industry Plant.
When she was 24, it wasn't even like Industry Plant. It was basically just like she's a scammer. I guess she was like, I read some story about J-Lo like recording her album and she was never in the studio or something. It was funny. And I guess.
So that was surfaced, not unlike Shane Gillis.
Yeah.
And SNL.
Yes. I would assume that, obviously once you get famous, you got enemies and people remember this shit, and it's not mm-hmm. hard to
people
find.
People dig it up.
But now
that Apple Podcasts is welcoming transcriptions for every episode soon, that'll be even more opportunities Damn. To name search and get people in trouble on podcasts.
Great. So all right, this is the last
episode. Has nothing to do with us whatsoever.
This is the last episode of How Long Gone. It's been real, guys. Thank you so much for listening. So she says these comments, obviously J-Lo's got to be a monster, so I assume but I also think she's like a consummate professional, mm-hmm. so I assume it probably wasn't an actual issue, but
yeah,
they did a sketch that's like about like why did you send this text, and it would like read a text message or something, and then one of them she was able to be like, why would you make stupid comments about J-Lo when you're 20, blah, blah, blah. And made mm-hmm. it was clever the way they talked about it on the show.
They winked slightly to
but
it.
But the best part is there's like a ticket winner on Weekend Update with Colin Jost, and it's Sarah Squirm. And mm-hmm. The idea is that it's Colin Jost's 18-year-old son that he doesn't know about. And it's very funny. That's by far the funniest. I was chuckling this morning. It was really funny.
Are you coming around on Squirm?
I mean, I think when Squirm does stuff like that, it's cool. I think when Squirm does too much Squirm, I just don't like that kind of humor.
When she goes Teletubby Nickelodeon mode, it's too much for you?
Yeah, but I think she's obviously very talented, but I think I feel like they've been using her in a better way, and it's like showing some mm-hmm. range. You know what I mean?
Okay. Squirm, I know you're listening. Send me a DM. We can get you on the pod. Chris is finally ready.
You got a lot of time during the week, I know. So that's no problem.
Well, speaking of SNL and that, Shane Gillis announced to host the next episode in a couple weeks. And I heard people talking about it a little bit, like when Matt Bellany did an episode about SNL with like some SNL historian guy who wrote a book about it or whatever.
Yeah, I listened to that.
And
he was like,
I think in the next year, Lauren's going to have Shane Gillis on to host. And I was like, that's a little crazy. And I think Bellany was also like, wow, okay, whatever. And then, so I was shocked to hear that completely come to fruition, a week and a half later.
I mean, once you're popping.
Instead of like in November.
Once you're popping, baby, people can't, I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. And I mean, I think he'll probably be good. I mean, his podcast is huge, right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty big.
I mean, I think like we were talking about earlier with an unnamed source, the story is that Lauren didn't want to fire him.
Yeah.
But NBC put the pressure on, mm-hmm. and now it's Lauren kind of exercising his power mm-hmm. To have him. But also, I think it does help that his career has skyrocketed since he didn't do SNL.
Yeah, that does help. I guess now that you hear about the J-Lo, Ayo thing, you hear about this, and it's starting to make me wonder, I mean, I'm sure it's just purely coincidental, but like, are they starting to create sort of real life scenarios or storylines that add something to the fact that this person is going to be hosting with this musical guest? Like, are they creating things where there's tension and there's a buildup and there's a backstory to this person doing this show at this time versus just like when their movie comes out?
I hope they can find a way to make 21 Savage interesting live, but I don't think God himself could do that. I mean, look,
don't come for 21.
I think that you're a conspiracy theorist, but that's also not that crazy. But I also think Saturday Night Live is, for whatever reason, it's part of it, it feels more part of the conversation now than it did like a couple years ago, if that makes sense. Yeah. And maybe that's the booking, maybe whatever, who knows. But it seems like something people are talking about more than they were.
Yeah.
And I think also that brings more. I think the Shane thing is truly Lauren trying to flex. I think that the IO JLo thing is just some TMZ shit.
Yeah. But I mean, like, what I want to know, like, about Lauren's flexing, like, he doesn't have like top say at NBC.
No, but I,
like, obviously he has pull and juice. He's quite powerful, but like he doesn't have carte blanche to do whatever he wants to do.
No. But I think it's a very, he gets pretty close to that.
He could get touched, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he could,
like,
get,
he could be fired at any moment.
He could absolutely get touched, but no, he definitely could not get fired. No way. That would be suicide for NBC.
Well, not fired.
I think it's,
but you know, would you like to prepare a statement kind of vibe? You know what I mean?
I bet I doubt that they tell him no very often at all.
Sure.
And I think that they also know that this will be good for ratings is the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Like, any controversy is good for ratings. So it's like, yeah, let man's cook. I'm not going to the mat for this one because it's gonna be positive for my bottom line.
Yeah, I was watching some old Seinfeld episode, and Jerry was asking, somebody experienced something that felt very good, and he was like, does it feel like when you hit a home run in Little League or something like that? And I could only imagine how it would feel for Shane Gillis to do his as a person who's a professional stand-up comedian. So he's already going to do a good job at the SNL monologue. He's already being mischievous and like, what am I going to say and get away with? You know, there's a million angles. It's his monologue to lose, basically. And then you throw this on top of it. They're going to be like at this fever pitch of like, oh shit, what's he going to do? Like when Chappelle would come on and do his monologue at SNL after some big thing happened, you're like,
yeah,
you just feel true. It in the air that he's about to let some shit spray, and I can't wait to hear it.
No, he'll be, I mean, his monologue will be good for sure. I mean, comedians, it's literally what they've like waited their whole life for.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so it's like, obviously it's a lot of pressure as well, but okay, well, I guess that's it, Jason.
I guess that is it. So we have our merch that's all ready to go, and we have Nalgenes that are ready to go. When should we put them up for sale, Chris?
That's a conversation for offline. Thank you guys for listening. HowLongGone.com is the website. That's where you can find the merch when we decide to put it up. You'll obviously see it on social media. And we're back next week with some more podcasts.
Oh yeah, we have the next episode, unless they cancel, is going to be very happy, or my brother and my barber are going to be very happy.
every 35-year-old man that was a Pitchfork and Stereo Gum reader is going to be very happy.
If you've ever relieved yourself to a Rilo Kiley song.
Oh god. All right, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Jason, for dealing with my Euro schedule. I appreciate it.
It's all gravy. I mean, like I said before, I actually kind of like it. My brain is a little more sharp and fresh in the AM, but it has been wreaking havoc on my hashtag gym flow. But it's fine. I'm getting my gains.
I know you would never.
No thanks to the people at Iron Neck, those dirty bastards. Those
cheap motherfuckers at Iron Neck. All right, thank you guys for listening. How Long Gone. We'll talk to you later.